I'd like to first introduce Dr. Kirsty Smith, not Kirsten, because Kirsty. And Kirsty is the reason I got into sexual health in 1995 when she headhunted me as a bush nurse to be the SIF queen in Alice Springs. So Kirsty is a senior research officer at the Kirby Institute, University of New South Wales, Sydney, with a focus on the evaluation of public health interventions relating to HIV and STIs. She has a particular interest in reducing the impact of HIV and STIs in remote Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, and she's going to talk today about presumptive treatment for chlamydia and gonorrhea in remote Indigenous communities. Thank you very much, Kirsty.
Traditional custodians of the land on which we're gathered, the Whadjuk people, and pay my respects to elders past, present and future, and also pay respects to any of our Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander colleagues that are attending today. And I'd just like to acknowledge and thank my co-authors on whose behalf I'm presenting today. So as a legacy of colonisation, we have vast disparities in the health status of Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people in this country, and this applies to sexual health as well. Particularly in remote areas where we find very high rates of infections and reports of up to one in two adolescents that are diagnosed with chlamydia, gonorrhea or trichomonas, and one in five people diagnosed with an STI who remain untreated. Treatment can be delayed by weeks, and this is a lot to do with the distance from the clinics to the laboratories. So it can take a long time to get results returned, and also it's a very mobile population, so it can be quite hard to find people. As a result, we see high rates of complications of STIs, and James talked about this quite a bit this morning, high rates of PID, ectopic pregnancies, infertility. The majority of these infections are, well, asymptomatic. You know, I guess this is a complicated area. There's a lot of reasons why people may not present with their infections. They may not recognise the infections. They may be too ashamed to present. And other barriers, such as the issues of confidentiality in small communities. Also, the lack of male practitioners may discourage people, especially young men, from presenting. So to evaluate whether point-of-care testing could improve the management of STIs, a randomised controlled trial of point-of-care testing for chlamydia and gonorrhea versus laboratory testing, known as the Test, Treat and Go trial, or TANGO, was implemented in 2013. The testing was conducted on the Gene Expert, which is shown here. Tests for chlamydia and gonorrhea on a single cartridge, and the results are available in 90 minutes. The trial was conducted in 12 remote primary healthcare services across three states, and they're just shown in the circles here, the regions of those, and it was funded by the National Health and Medical Research Council. The trial was very successful. It showed that point-of-care testing was as accurate as the lab testing. It also showed that a great improvement in the time to treatment for the people who were tested using point-of-care. Based on that, the NHMRC, Australian Government, WA and Queensland Health departments provided additional funding to scale up this program to around 30 remote primary health care services across four states and territories. And you can see the sort of the spread of those there in the map. And I'd just not like to acknowledge Brett Wally, who's in this photo. He might be in the room. He is the point of care test coordinator for WA, based at the Aboriginal Health Council of Western Australia. He covers this vast region of Western Australia, providing point-of-care test training and support to the primary healthcare staff. So just looking now at how point of care is integrated into the clinical pathway, at services, people who present asymptomatically will be tested with a lab test, and they may also be offered a point of care test. We know from the results of the trial that if they have a point of care test, that they will be they're much more likely to be treated in within 2 days compared to someone who has a lab test. People, on the other hand, who present with symptoms or who are considered to be at high risk of an infection or are a contact will be, the guidelines advise to treat immediately, even when a point of care test is available. So this led us to have a look at those who are presumptively treated. We know that presumptive treatment does result in the unnecessary use of antibiotics, which can contribute to the development of antibiotic resistance. In this context, well, in remote areas of Western Australia and the Northern Territory, the standard treatment for chlamydia and gonorrhea is azithromycin, amoxicillin and probenecid. It's known as a ZAP pack in those areas, or in areas where there's penicillin resistance, ceftriaxone and azithromycin are used. While there's little data on Mycoplasma genitalium in remote areas, we do know that there's very high rates of azithromycin resistance in urban areas. And this is likely to be a similar situation in remote areas where there has been widespread use of azithromycin. So in light of these concerns, we explored whether point of care testing could be used instead of presumptive treatment to reduce the unnecessary use of antibiotics. And to answer that, we asked the question around, we looked at the STI positivity in those who were presumptively treated. So for this evaluation, it was in the context of the Tango 2 study. The data was extracted from between 2016 and 2018 from 11 of the Tango 2 sites in WA, South Australia and the NT for people aged 16 or above. Presumptive treatment was defined as treatment on the same day as the chlamydia and gonorrhea specimen collection. And we looked at the chlamydia and gonorrhea positivity in those that were treated presumptively and stratified by age, sex, and before and after the introduction of point of care testing using a chi-squared test. So for our study population, it includes 500 people who fitted into that category within the red frame. People that were presumptively treated. So for each of the next three slides, I'll just be showing you a breakdown of those same 500 people who were treated presumptively, with a breakdown by firstly gender, then age group, and then before and after the introduction of point of care tests. So in each case, the colour scheme's the same. So the gold at the top for those who were the proportion that were chlamydia and gonorrhea negative. The light blue in the middle was chlamydia and gonorrhea positive. Then the orange were those who were just chlamydia positive, and the bright blue just gonorrhea positive. So in this first slide, just with the breakdown by gender, we can see amongst women, there was a higher proportion, 64%, that were negative for both chlamydia and gonorrhea, compared to 50% of men. You probably expect to see that men were more likely, men who were presumptively treated were more likely to have been diagnosed with gonorrhea. In this next one, it's a breakdown by age group. with the younger age group on the left, 15 to 24, and the older age group on the right, 35 plus years. And as the age group increased, we found a higher proportion of people had who were presumptively treated had negative results. So with up to 70% of those in that 35 plus age group that were negative for both chlamydia and gonorrhea. And you might notice also the in the 15 to 24 year age group, there was a higher proportion of people who were diagnosed with both chlamydia and gonorrhea, so 16%. And in this one, it's looking at before the introduction of point-of-care testing and after the introduction of point-of-care testing, and we found that there was a higher proportion of people in the pre-point-of-care test period who tested negative for both chlamydia and gonorrhea, so 62% versus 49%. So to summarise, among those presumptively treated, about half were negative for chlamydia and gonorrhea. And of these, there was a high proportion of women compared with men, those aged 35 or above compared to the younger age groups, and in the pre-point-of-care test era that had negative results for both chlamydia and gonorrhea. There were some limitations. We only captured treatments that are recorded in the prescriptions field of the patient management system. So there are likely to be some presumptive treatments that we didn't capture. We didn't have the reason for presumptive treatment. So we don't know whether people were treated on the basis of symptoms or whether they were contacts or whether there was that other category of people who were just considered to be at high risk. And the results are not generalisable to all remote communities. So in conclusion, we believe that presumptive treatment remains appropriate in this context, particularly where it can be hard to find people again, even in a reasonably short time. except consideration could be given in that older age group, where point-of-care testing is available, you might consider holding off on treatment and treating on the basis of the point-of-care test results. Presumptive treatment was more selective when point-of-care testing was available. We found that the positivity was higher. What this means is hard to know. Clinicians were more likely to treat people on the basis of symptoms and perhaps as contacts, but perhaps less likely to treat them on the basis of risk. As I said, it's a matter of speculation and does warrant some more exploration. To replace presumptive treatment with point-of-care testing would require careful assessment of the benefits versus the risks, and particularly around antimicrobial resistance and loss to follow-up. There's a lot of people to acknowledge and thank. I'd especially like to thank the participating health services and staff, and just to acknowledge the team at the Flinders University International Centre for Point of Care Testing, who are a key partner. Thank you very much.